is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Mary Anastasia O'Grady, the America's columnist and editor for the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal on Americas. And right now we go to the border between Mexico and Texas. Mary writing about immigration, immigration reform, immigration policy. Mary, if you arrive at the Mexican border now, right now, and you say you want to enter the United States because asylum, poverty, fear, what happens at the border right now under the Biden administration? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. The existing policy at the border, if you come with an asylum claim, which is that you have a fear for your life in whatever country you're coming from, is particularly if you have children with you, is that you will not be forced to remain in Mexico, a policy that existed during the Trump administration, but rather you will be told that you will have an asylum hearing, but that since the courts are backlogged, you will not be able to have that court date for probably more than a year. I think they're quite backlogged, those courts. So you will be allowed to enter the country with you'll have your court date, and then you'll go right and look for your family and settle down. That's the way asylum works right now, because the Biden administration decided that it should be that way.
There's news about the Remain in Mexico policy. Is it settled or is it still unknown?
Well, it's still unknown because the Supreme Court has to make a final decision. But the indication is that the court believes that the Biden administration did not have the authority to end the Remain in Mexico policy. And if that's the case, then I suppose that we will have a return to it. It was a useful deterrent because if you arrived at the border, there was a condemnation of the Trump policy of separating families and children. So they stopped doing that, but they did ask the whole family to go back to Mexico and wait there until they would have their asylum hearing. And this created camps in Mexico, which were not very pleasant. And that, in fact, created a deterrent for people who were coming, hoping to get in with an asylum claim and then later get a court date.
There are thousands, maybe tens of thousands, maybe more, of migrants on their way to the Mexican border, believing they can enter the United States. There's a photograph accompanying your piece of a city in Colombia that's at the doorstep of the infamous Darien Gap. What am I looking at in that photograph?
Well, that's Necoclí, Colombia. It is just on the southern or the southeastern side of the Gulf of Urabá. And what happens is that people who are traveling in South America, say from Brazil, from Chile, from Peru, from Ecuador, all end up in that little tiny beach town where they get a boat that takes them across the Gulf of Urabá. When they land on the other side, they're still in Colombia, but not very far from the Panamanian border. And they're basically at the trailhead of the trail that goes through the Darien Gap, a very perilous jungle trek that can take your life in a variety of different ways, filled with bandits and drug traffickers and rapists and poisonous snakes and rough terrain and, no food, water. You face a lot of peril there. And yet the local officials in that town estimate that there are 10,000, more than 10,000 people waiting to to cross the Gulf of Urabá and to enter in the Darien jungle, and they're making the trip because they're heading for the U.S.
And is their opinion that the U.S. is open? That's why they're stacking up. That's why they're rushing. And this has been going on since the Biden administration took office earlier this year.
Yeah, as I say, I mean, the perception is that Biden is much more lenient on migration, and that if you make an asylum claim at the border, you will be let in for a court date later. And you may or may not win that asylum claim, but you will have a shot. And, you know, the Trump administration had a much more a reputation for a much stricter policy at the border. And so, you know, if you talk to the migrants who are making the trip, they say, oh, well, Biden wants us to come, and Biden's going to let us in. So that's the impression that people have.
You spoke to Cato Institute's immigration scholar, David Beer, and Mr. Beer's remark is the asylum process, the one you described that is in place now, is essentially our work visa program. What would the work visa program be, Mary, and how would it work?
Well, what I would like to see, and what David Beer, I think, is recommending, is that people who want to work in the United States, they know that their jobs are open because there are immigrant communities here that communicate with them and tell them they need a dishwasher, they need a busboy. They need somebody in construction. They need someone at the poultry processing plant. So they let their relative know that. And there are these very sophisticated lines of communication about job availability. And in a civil world, that person would be able to apply for a work visa at the local consulate. Then the consulate would be able to match and the need for workers with the available workers. They would be able to travel in a legal and civilized fashion to the United States with their visa. We would know who they were, so, you know, we wouldn't have this huge, massive undocumented population that is actually a national security threat on some level, because we don't know who these people are. The border police would be less overwhelmed, because the people who want jobs would be coming in a legal fashion. And the point David Beer was making is that most of our consulates aren't even open, and even those that are open are not processing these kinds of work visas. So it's just a denial of, you know, sort of gravity, you know, physics. You know, you have a bunch of people who want to work, and you have a bunch of employers in this country who need workers, and yet our government can't even put the two together in a way that would be much more humane, much safer from a national security point of view, and much more manageable at the border. I mean, you wouldn't have this overwhelming mass of humanity arriving at the border and have so much trouble controlling it.
Your column suggests there are partisans who find the present non-solution to be desirable compared to what you're recommending. And they must be indifferent to the suffering of the people, the Darien Gap, or those families that are parked in Mexico.
You know, I can't prove that, but you have a solution to this problem, and yet you don't have any political will to get it done in Washington. And I don't believe that's simply because people haven't figured out what the right course would be. I think that, you know, the Biden administration made a huge amount. Well, I should say the Democrats, they had a great advantage all during the Trump administration in claiming that the Trump administration had an inhumane policy, was xenophobic, right, was racist. They called all these names when Donald Trump tried to control the border. And I think there was more to be gained there politically than actually finding a solution. On the other side of the coin,
we have 30 seconds, Mary. Go ahead, 30 seconds.
There's a nativist streak in the Republican Party that doesn't want people coming to the country, so they play on that sentiment.
Mary Anastasio Grady, writing a solution for the troubles at the Mexican-Texas border, but not yet. She is the America's columnist and editor at the Wall Street Journal editorial page. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.